I find that I'm passing through.
Leaving.
Now, as is now getting customary, got a bit of pushback on a tweet I made recently defending a certain Dark Lord, defending Tony Blair, where somebody was saying that Blair was the cause of all of the nation's ills. And I said this is grossly unfair to Tony Blair. And then I listed 9 people, should have been 10, I forgot David Cameron, who I think are more responsible than Tony Blair for the dire state that the country is in. In this video, I'm going to go through each and every one of these people and explain why they're worse than Blair, for one. And two, I'm going to directly compare what Blair did while he was in power to what the Tories did in the last 14 years. Because I think that this narrative that Blair is the author of all the nation's evils and all the nation's ill, while it's a kind of myth and meme that everybody likes to lean into, actually is doing the dirty work of the Tories for them and letting the Tories off the hook. It's also verging on slop, I think, because it basically points the finger at a man who, you know, especially the longer he was in power, actually tried to undo some of the issues. I'm going to get into all of that in this video. First, though, pick up a course at the Academic Agency, Foundations of Politics, Economics, Research, Trivium, Shakespeare, so many other courses available. Buy them now, and let's get into this. So, I guess if I'm going to post a historical list like this, I should probably go into the reasons for why each one of them are there. The long-time viewers of this channel will not be surprised to see Winston Churchill right at the top of the list. Now, I've done a large amount of work showing why Churchill was bad, okay? I did a review of an entire Adam Curtis series called An Ocean Apart, which you can, probably about 5 or 6 streams, looking just at Churchill's role in the downfall and the decline of the British Empire, which he basically gave away. And I had a whole other series of streams where I read an entire book called Britain's Blunder by a British author called Nicol. What was his name? Peter H. Nicol, Britain's Blunder. And I read through this entire book, basically kind of giving a different take on World War II and explaining how that war could have been avoided, why we didn't need to go into it, how Churchill was consistently belligerent and didn't see sense on the issue, as against many other members of the ruling class at the time. Some of the atrocities that Britain got up to in World War II, and the fact that he left us absolutely bankrupt. There's a whole series of books, if you have a look, here on the shelf. Corelli Barnett, he wrote 4 books. One of them I can't fit on the shelf, it's over there somewhere. But where he goes into the cost of World War II to Britain's prestige in the world, to its finances, which were wrecked, absolutely wrecked, to the empire, which basically fell apart afterwards. All because Churchill pathologically wanted to get us into the war. And then when we were in the war, he had to beg, borrow, steal, pimp us out to the Americans, land lease, Marshall Plan, basically handed power over to the Americans. And for this, Winston Churchill should be seen as not the hero that he's so frequently painted as by boomers and upholders of the Boomer Truth regime, but actually as one of the worst leaders in Britain's history, and far worse than Blair. On a historical timescale, Churchill, in my opinion, any objective look at Churchill shows you that he was a disaster from an objective point of view. You take the hysteria out of the evil of the Nazis and all the rest of it, just take the emotion out of it and just look at what Churchill did. Look at Britain before Churchill and after Churchill, and he wrecked this country. Okay, so first and foremost, Churchill is more responsible for the state of Britain today than any of these other people. Okay, I mean, it's just terrible, and I don't even need to get into some of his other crimes, like whatever, kind of disasters in his career, like Gallipoli and Bengal famine, and you know, all of the other terrible things that he did in his career. Dresden was a crime, if you ask me. But we don't need to get into all of that. Okay, you can go off and watch videos. I think Tick History, actually, if you watch Tick History, he is by no means sympathetic to the mid-century Germans, okay, at all. I think he's still a libertarian. But Tick History did a video recently basically saying like, what a shithead Churchill was, how stupid he was, okay? And so there you go. Many other people have gone into Churchill. Zuma Historian, who is a bit more right-wing than Tick History, also has videos on the disaster of Churchill. Peter Hitchens has a book called The Phony the Phony War, which you should read. Pat Buchanan, The Unnecessary War. So many books on this. You know, Major General Richard Hilton goes into this a little bit in Imperial Obituary as well. So Churchill, on this channel, in this household, is a villain, okay? And for any patriot, really, if you're part of the cult of Churchill, I encourage you to take steps to leave the cult of Churchill. He is just so bad. And I've got so many books here that show you how bad he was. I've got a book down here. Where is it? Maurice Cowling, okay? Kind of lesser-known historian, but he was pretty right-wing, conservative historian. The Impact of Labour, this book here, but The Impact of Hitler. Churchill, if you read this book, and how can you come out of it seeing Churchill as anything but a villain in British history, okay? So, yeah. I'm very down on Churchill, I'm afraid. I'm very down on Churchill. Next person on this list, worse than Blair, Anthony Eden. Now, some people would say this is a little bit harsh on Eden, right? Because he's the symbol of the Suez Crisis in 56, right? But look, if you have a look at the long history of Eden, he was standing there next to Churchill so many times. He had different posts before then, so he was part of all of, he has to own the years of betrayal that the Tories gave us back then, giving away the empire and so on. And then, obviously, the Suez Crisis was a massive humiliation. I can't get into all the details now, but basically this marked imperial collapse. On social issues, he was progressive. He kind of lessened censorship and things like that on kind of liberal things. He was lenient on criminal justice. He gave lighter penalties on people. If there was colonial unrest, he lightened the load, lightened the sentences. So he was kind of a light touch. He emboldened his foes. And, another thing that started happening. So if there's a bit of a breakup, I think there's a thunderstorm going on. So I've seen the camera go a little bit funny, but... I'm still enjoying this same Kay Dorsey from yesterday's video, by the way. You can see I've recorded them in the same day. Sorry to break a bit of kayfabe, but I record these videos in batches. Another thing that Eden did is that he actually started selling off Britain's assets to foreign interests, something that's going to be an ongoing feature there. You know, he started selling assets to foreign interests. Terrible. And you could say, well, even Churchill, you know, was probably owned. Some people would argue was owned by foreign interests, but that's another question. Harold Wilson, then. Harold Wilson, why is he on the villain list? Well, he was the Prime Minister for much of the 60s, immortalised by the Beatles song Taxman for the, was it the 98% top rate of tax or 95% tax rate or whatever? And... he accelerated decolonization massively, Wilson. He devalued the pound. He dismantled imperial power. He was, on the social front, destructive because he passed something called the 1967 Sexual Offences Act, right, which basically started to kind of liberalize homosexuality and things like that. You know, your opinion may vary on that, but you, I would say that in the, if you have a look at the trajectory of the country, you know, the Wilson really was the beginning of the end, if you ask me. He passed the 1965 Race Relations Act, which is the author of many of this country's ills, right at the same time as Lyndon B. Johnson was doing the Civil Rights Act. He did that here. He also did a lot of criminal justice reform, you know, brought in liberal, untested, wishy-washy, namby-pamby, and basically insane liberal criminal justice reform, which massively spikes crime in the country after this point. And have I got it here? Yes, I do. The absolute best book on this is by one Peter Hitchens, A Brief History of Crime. You get your hands on the hard copy version here. There's a couple of extra chapters that are taken out of the paperback, which is called The Abolition of Liberty. But the stuff that Wilson did on the crime front is a crime, okay? And this should not be overlooked. These things, you want to talk about worse than Blair, Wilson. What else? Okay, now I've got listed here Tories who knifed Enoch. I'm talking about Enoch Powell in 68. Well, the man we can hold chiefly responsible was Edward Heath, of course. He sacked Enoch Powell in 1968, enabling mass migration, basically unopposed. Powell exiled from the Tory party at the moment where he was the most popular MP in the country. He had something like over 60%, almost 70% support in the country, Enoch Powell had, after that Rivers of Blood speech, which has been so villainized in our history. Now, a different Tory party would have made him leader. This Tory party, the traitorous Tory party, kicked him out. Edward Heath, that was. What else did he do, Edward Heath? He took us into the EEC, which gave away sovereignty, shredded imperial unity. And he also was liberal on criminal justice. He softened penalties for criminals. Lighter, you know, this is the era of jail starting to become easier for people. Not if you watch something like Scum, obviously, but, you know, still, you'd say, if Thomas Carlyle could see Scum, he's like, oh, this is luxury compared to the Victorian prisons. And even back then, in model prisons, Carlyle was saying, what, get back on the workhorse, look, get these people back working, what are you doing here? You know, this is luxury compared to what it should be. So, on all those sorts of things, Edward Heath was not good as a force. I mean, his chief crime, I would say, is what he did to Enoch Powell. Enoch Powell should have been the Tory candidate, and he should have become the Prime Minister at that time, and who knows what would have happened. Who knows, it's one of history's greatest what ifs if Powell had come in. Powell, of course, also opposed to joining Europe. Thatcher then deepened integration with the EU, joined the 1986 Single European Act. She ceded imperial control even further. She deindustrialized. Now, Thatcher's biggest crime for me is on the deindustrialization, accelerating deindustrialization, and basically weakening our manufacturing base to the point where it was almost terminal. Selling off our assets to foreign interests, privatization is one thing, you can argue about it, but she sold off assets to foreign investors. Key infrastructure in this country should be owned by Brits. Should be owned by Brit, whether it's private or public, you can argue about, but it should be British. Selling it off to foreign interests, just disgusting. Another thing, which is also discussed in An Ocean Apart, there's also a book of Ocean Apart here. There it is, Ocean Apart. But if you watch the Adam Curtis documentary with my commentary, we go through this as well, which is that against the wishes of Michael Heseltine, She made Britain reliant on America for its nuclear capabilities, for nuclear deterrent. Trident basically requires US sign-off to actually be used. That was Thatcher's doing against the urgings of Heseltine. And she also was responsible for turning Britain into what they call Airstrip 1 by, basically leasing out land and allowing the Americans military bases here, you know, no strings attached. So, she, you know, you could say that she had some good points, Thatcher. She was actually acquiesced to the wishes of Mary Whitehouse on she was not actually as socially liberal on some of that stuff. As you might imagine, but she did do other things on the race relations front. She introduced hate speech laws. She was very, very keen, actually, on those sorts of things. So she was a bit of a squelch on those sort of issues. Now, getting on to Gordon Brown. Now, why is he here when Blair, his partner in crime, is not? Well, Brown did some things in his 3 years in charge that are worse than Blair. In short, he sold the gold. Selling the gold, Gordon Brown. Signed the 2009 Lisbon Treaty. Surrendered our sovereignty even further. Sold gold reserves cheaply. Crippled our finances as a result of that, because we didn't have hard underlying assets anymore, because Brown sold the gold off. 2010 Equality Act basically enshrined all this crap in even further in law. It was Cameron who brought in gay marriage, but the Equality Act was kind of consolidated a lot of previous legislation that all these other people had passed into one bill. So you could say, well, that is a big negative for Brown. The economy was bad during Brown's time in charge. He also massively accelerated selling off our assets to foreigners. There was a lot of banking deregulation in Brown's tenure after the 2008 crisis, and this deregulation facilitated foreign takeovers of British firms. Banner example would be like the Glazers taking over Manchester United. Lots of this sort of thing happened in the Gordon Brown economy, which I think was damaging, certainly damaging to our prestige, damaging to patriotic interests, basically pimping out the country even further to foreigners. So, yeah, that's Gordon Brown. And then finally, another huge villain on this list. We've got several other people I want to get through here. There's David Cameron. David Cameron, after Gordon Brown. He pushed the EU integration for EU integration with the 2011 European Union Act, which again gave away more national sovereignty. Failed to secure the Falklands against Argentina. Cameron did. He had very socially liberal attitudes. You know, abolished Blair's ASBOs, Hugger Hoodie. Remember all of that. He promoted gender ideology, gay marriage. He had affirmative action on his selection lists, the Cameronistas, selecting for women, selecting for minorities, and things like that. So he, you could say that he attacked family values through his promotion of the LGBT stuff. His criminal justice reforms were even more liberal than what had gone before, reducing sentences, softened the crime stances. From the hardcore, tough on crime, tough on the causes of crime, blunk it with a machine gun, right? That was Blair. Cameron softened all of that. Of course, what was called austerity basically involved selling off even more public assets to foreign investors. So, yeah, that was Cameron. Then we have Boris Johnson, who's major crime, I would say. Well, he's got two. The lockdowns, which he'll never be forgiven for, but even more, where is the Boris wave, which is the largest influx of net migration to the country in history. Probably will be the all-time record. Lovely thing to have to your name, Boris Johnson, clown. this happened after Brexit. Remember, he was elected to enact Brexit and then immediately went about importing people at a rate of knots that nobody had ever seen before. He basically, he supported gay adoption on the social side. He appointed an anti-racism commission, which furthered social decay, you could say. He pushed criminal justice liberalisation even further than Cameron had done. I mean, Johnson is like an uber shitlib, way to the left of Blair, as an example. He undermined safety, sold strategic assets to foreign entities, steel, Indians and Chinese and all sorts of foreign interests, carving up the country while Johnson just gleefully gives it away. And then, of course, Sunak was part of the Johnson team, record immigration under him, net zero policies. You could say that they eroded national self-reliance as a result of our energy dependence now, as a result of net zero madness. He apologized for bans of LGBTQ++ in the military, which he didn't need to do, but he did. He held up a coin saying diversity is our strength. Do you remember that? Little 50p coin. He was soft on border crime, despite claiming to be not be. So he weakened the borders, and his economic policies basically encouraged even further foreign buyouts of British tech firms. And finally on the list, why is Queen Elizabeth there? And people say, well, how could you do this to the dear old Queen, eh? Well, it's simple. Compare Elizabeth in 1952 and the state of the country and the state of the empire in 1952 to the state of the country in 2022 when she died. Okay, every social degradation, every reduction of the empire, every reduction in Britain's standing in the world, every demographic change in the country, all these things happened under Queen Elizabeth's watch. And she sat there, and she didn't lift a finger, she didn't say a word. In 70 years, she said nothing, she did nothing. As this country was ripped up, torn asunder, its assets pawned off to foreigners, borders wrecked, social fabric destroyed, all under the Queen of the Ashes, Elizabeth II. Worse than Blair. Different character could have done something. Her dad would have said something. Her grandfather would have said something. They used to intervene on a regular basis. This idea that the monarch never intervened is started with her. Monarchs did intervene. Victoria intervened even. All the previous monarchs said something. They voiced their displeasure. They intervene. Charles intervenes now, not in a way that we would like, obviously, but he still has stuff to say. The Queen, nothing. 70 years of silence. As her empire was torn apart and her country's name dragged through the mud. But it's all right. Have a shortbread biscuit with my face on it. So, all of those figures are worse than Blair.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.